Welcome to worship. Welcome, whoever you are, wherever you are, and whatever time you're listening or watching this. And I'm inside instead of outside today because after weeks of no rain, it is raining here in Camarasennes. Our call to worship today is from Ephesians, one of the readings we're going to hear later on. And what Paul says to us is, do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say will do good to those who hear you. Let us worship God.
Let us pray. Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. Lord, you are great, you are glorious, you are wonderfully strong. You fill all things, and heaven and earth cannot contain your glory. You are in need of nothing, yet you call us to stand in your presence and serve you. You call us not for what we can give, but because you know that our true life, our true joy, lies in praising you, in gazing upon your glory. And so we come, though we are unworthy. We cannot offer you any gift that would add anything to you. We are unworthy because we have not lived up to the high ideals you have in creating us. We have not loved you with all our heart and soul and mind, and our neighbour as ourselves. Lord, have mercy. We have not sought your guidance in all that we do, and sometimes we have gone against your will, thinking we know better, or from plain selfishness. Christ, have mercy. We have not done some things we ought to have done, through weakness, deliberately, or not caring about the needs of others. Lord, have mercy. But with the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. May he grant us pardon and remission of all our sins, true repentance, time for amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of his Holy Spirit. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Today I'm going to be concentrating more on Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, but over the last few weeks we've been looking at the life of David and his relationship with God. And so one of the readings today is Psalm 130. David communicates with God on a regular and very personal basis. He wears his heart on his sleeve and shares his every problem with God. And for those who have been following the lectionary readings about the life of David, this psalm that we'll hear, Psalm 130, comes as David learns that his son Absalom has been killed. David is distraught, and although he and his son have had major problems with their relationship, David still loved him with the commitment and depth of a father's love. This relationship is mirrored in God's relationship with David, and also God's relationship with us. David's dysfunctional and warring family highlight many human frailties. And yet, from the Psalms, we know that God does not wash his hands of them. The communication between David and God ensures that the relationship continues. David was able to continue his life's work in spite of the many blunders and transgressions because he has a God he could speak to, say anything to. A God he knew might be harsh when he had gone astray, but would not desert him. A God whose unconditional love would reach out to him in times of difficulties, in spite of what might have happened. A God whose grace and mercy were ready at all times to greet the return of the prodigal son. This selfsame God will listen to us, if only we would take time to talk to him.
Psalm 130, a song for those journeying to worship. From the depths of disaster, I appeal to you, O Eternal One. Lord, hear my cry. Attune your ears to my humble prayer. If you, Eternal One, recorded each offence, Lord, who on earth could stand innocent? But with you, forgiveness exists. That's why true respect of you might flow. So I wait for the eternal. My soul awaits rescue, and I put my hope in his transforming word. My soul waits for the Lord to break into the world, more than night watchmen expect the break of day, even more than night watchmen expect the break of day. O Israel, ground your hope in the eternal, for in the eternal lives the most loyal love, and with him comes the most abundant redemption. He will ransom Israel from all the sinful acts that stole you away. Do not grieve the Spirit. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbour, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labour, working with his hands what is good, that to me he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma.
Today, I'm thinking about how we build the skills we need if we are to work together in the church to further the teachings of Christ. In our reading from Ephesians, we have heard about Paul's plea for the unity of the new and developing church, and is a plea for them to communicate and behave in a loving manner, to tell the truth, to not get angry, only say helpful things. They will be successful only if they combine their talents and their strengths in this loving, considerate way. We have all been given gifts, says Paul, so that we can all be prepared to work in Christian service. The gifts of the early church that he mentions are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. These perhaps are more easily seen gifts, but Paul says we all have gifts, and many of these gifts would also be essential in the church of 2021 and beyond. But we might also add the gift of IT skills. And through these gifts, he says, we grow and develop and are no longer like children. We grow to be part of a whole, to build up the body of Christ. And as we come together, there is less chance that we'll be confused by wrong teaching or misled by deceitful people. There will be strength in our coming together. But in order to meld together, we must also learn to communicate in a productive way. We must feel free to speak the truth to each other in love, to sort out differences of opinion, so that they do not distract or divert us as time goes on, we will grow in every way to Christ, who is the head. Well, we are seeing this same process in action at the moment on our TVs, if you're watching the Olympics, not building up the sort of team Paul was talking about, but we see the result of identifying talents, encouraging, training and sustaining them in the teams we see in Tokyo. There are different aims are evident here in the Olympics, but we maybe could pick up a few tips from their process. Have you been watching it? In the mix of the Team GB, we have people from all the home nations, Scots, Irish, Welsh, English. But not only in the athletes, there is a mixture in their support people, the coaches, the doctors, the physios, the physiologists, the dietitians, and the psychologists. The athletes we see competing may have been identified as having talents or ability when they were really very young. Someone might see a particular ability or aptitude and they think that might be able to be developed for a particular sport, and so the process begins. And that identification is just the beginning, and success does not happen overnight. We will have all heard tales of successful swimmers or gymnasts having to get up early in the morning and go for training sessions before school. And this goes on for many years before they see the fruits of their labours. The whole family is involved, often driving them to where they can train, as well as forfeiting holidays and making financial sacrifices to fund travelling to competitions and training camps. It is a slow and determined process, which involves many more people than the athlete on their own. Just listen to the people that the athlete, the successful athlete, lists at the end of a race who they want to give their thanks to. But in spite of a great deal of effort, many will never reach that level of expertise which would enable them to attend the Olympics, and they have to cope with that disappointment. For the athletes, their goal might be to get to the Olympics, and all their training is to that end. For a faith team, their goal should be that their Christian service should build up the body of Christ, a oneness of faith, growing towards Christ, who is the head. Paul, as he writes this letter, is in prison in Ephesus. And as he writes not only this letter, but also some of his other letters to the churches he has established, he must be frustrated because he cannot be with everyone. He's stuck in prison, and he has to rely on letters and messengers to relay his thoughts. Paul, as we know, is Jewish. He is well versed in the theology and practice of Judaism. And although his mission is to take the gospel to the Gentiles, he also wants to help the Jews to see that the coming of the Messiah is the fulfillment of their faith. But let's look at what Paul is asking the Ephesian church to do in this letter. He is saying to them, in order to grow towards Christ, they must combine their many God-given talents so that they meld into a whole, that all their different talents must combine if the team is to be strengthened and sustained. He entreats the Ephesians to communicate in a loving way. No more shouting or bitterness, no more hateful feelings. They are to be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving, just as God has forgiven them through Christ. Well, a permanent change in behaviour is a tall order for anyone. Easy to say, but not easy to do. So let's have a look at what that change would entail. So we'll return to the example of the athletes at the Olympics. In order to ensure a performance which is sustainable and reliable, the set of skills needed has to be built up over a great period of time. The skills need to be practiced over and over again, until the nervous system, the muscles and the joints have that blueprint firmly established. The athlete may know what they need to do, but the only way is to practice that same skill over and over again. Get feedback from others watching, adjust and practice again. Tedious at times, wearing and frustrating. They have to put the work in, but they will be heavily reliant on the advice and information that they get from those around them. And they have to learn to take feedback and advice in good grace. Again, not always easy. And at the same time as all this work is going on, they have to remain positive and motivated, remembering what this is all for, seeing that goal get nearer and nearer with each practice session. Skill building and communication lie at the heart of building a team, any team. Keeping the goal in focus, identifying the skills needed, and navigating the whole team toward that end is the challenge. And so it is with Paul's plea to the Ephesians, to the Ephesian church, and also to us. Being kind and tender-hearted is a skill. Staying positive is a skill. Only giving helpful advice is a skill. Staying silent at times is a skill. Skills which will only be perfected if they are practiced over and over again until you don't have to think about it. You're doing it automatically. The goal? A new life in Christ. And our manager, if we would listen, is the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for all your goodness to us and to all people. We thank you for creating us, for giving us life, for sending us your Son to save us and all people, and for the hope of eternal life with you. May we never cease to praise you by the words of our lips and by the actions of our lives. Amen. We pray for God's holy church throughout the world, for unity in the Holy Spirit, for mutual love and respect of each other's traditions, and that we may shine as a light, guiding others to their true home in Christ. We pray for vocations, for faithful ministers who will nourish us in word and sacrament, and for every member, that we may each realise our own vocation and faithfully build up the body of Christ. And we pray for new forms of ministry and congregation, for guidance to use them for good. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, when I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, come and listen to me. Today we remember St. Dominic and the order of preachers he founded. We give thanks for their work in bringing the good news to people and in supporting Christian communities. And we especially remember with thanks the faithful work done by Father Angus among us in the peninsula. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, when I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, come and listen to me. We pray for our local communities, wherever they may be. We give thanks for all those who have sustained our lives in such challenging times, and for the hope of a brighter future. We pray for safety and consideration as we adjust to the changes taking place from tomorrow. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, when I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, come and listen to me. We pray for the world and we pray for its peace, for lands torn apart by war and by force of arms, for the majority under the oppression of economic control, and for the voice of truth to be heard where it has long since been forgotten. Lord, may your will be done, your kingdom come. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, when I for all in distress of body, mind or spirit, for all who care for them and work for their healing, for the many still living under threat of the pandemic, and for all who mourn the loss of loved ones through whatever cause. Lord, may your ways be known upon earth, your saving help among all peoples. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, when I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. For all who have passed from this earthly life and rest in your care, grant them a place of refreshment, light and peace, and bring us at last to share with them in your eternal kingdom. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen to me.
Let's dedicate our offering. God of all grace, who has freely given all that we have and all that we are, who has created this world, who has shown us how to forgive and that we are forgiven. We join together today and present these tokens of money, our talents and our time, as a sign of our love and dedication to your church, your people and your kingdom. Receive them and use them for the benefit of all your children, in Jesus' name. And now we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever.
Amen.
Now we come to the end, towards the end of our time of worship. And we part with these words. Speak the truth. Be kind to each other. Never let the sun go down on your anger. And never give evil room to manoeuvre. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Shine upon